Many of you may, I'm sure, have known or know what we walked through last year. I was pregnant last year and gave birth to just an absolutely amazing little beautiful girl. Her name was Carissa Joy, that she came into the earth and that she went to be with the Lord. And your prayer sustained my husband and me through that time. I don't know how I would have done it without feeling the love that was being poured. Your very thoughts towards one another carry power, not only in your own life, but towards that person. And when you release that spirit of the Lord to those that you love, and you speak that love over them, it does amazing things in the spiritual area. And that's just something that is so, so amazing about His love towards us, is how He comforts us and gives us so much strength in a time of weakness. And each of us have experienced loss of some kind. And it's the God of all comfort who comes in and strengthens us in that time of weakness. And so during that time that I was separated with the Lord, and even more recently, there's just been such a fire and such a renewed passion for the Word of God that's come into me. And a couple of weeks ago, many of you saw me laid out here just shaking under the power of God. It was just so absolutely amazing, the dunamis power of God that came through. And I believe He wants to release that in all of us this morning. And the people of the Lord need to go in there and access it and pull it down. When you go to church, it's to be filled up and pour yourself out to the world. Our purpose for living is to release the faith of God that is within you. The Lord Jesus Himself said, the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is within. It needs to be accessed by the spirit man. By the spirit man, where the flesh submits to the spirit, where the soul is submitted to the spirit. And the Lord has called each of us to be an instrument of His peace in the earth. And He has anointed us. And with this song, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. As you listen to it, sing it. And as you sing it, because you'll really pick up on it. Maybe you haven't heard it before, but it's Isaiah 61:1. And what you'll find as you're seeing it, because it is the Word of God, you become the Word of God. You are one with Christ, walking in that unity. And when it says you, say me. He has anointed me. Sing it out of your heart. You want to sing it aloud, sing it out of your spirit, but know that He has anointed you. Amen.
You will preach good news to the poor. You will bind up the brokenhearted. You will proclaim freedom for the captives. You will release the ones in prison. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord surely is upon you. He has anointed you. He has anointed you. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord surely is upon you. He has anointed you. He has anointed you. Thank you.
Isn't that such an awesome song? It was something that I had gotten my hands on just recently. It's a woman, a young lady out of Canada. And her name is Heather Clark, and she did a CD with a woman named Patricia King not too long ago. And the Lord is making available to his body his truth through CDs, through teachings, through workbooks, through the Word of God. We have never been in such a place as we are today in the history of time where the revelation and the mysteries of God are being made available to us. So the Lord is showing us, and he's leading us to partake of ministries and ministers that are going places or have gone places where we haven't gone yet. And there are those that are out there on the front lines that are piercing their way past that place of either unbelief or whatever the hindrance may be. The Lord is pushing us through the people, that envelope. What we desire to do is make known some of the resources, and I'm going to just share a little bit about that because we want to get some of the tools into the hands of the people to cause you to become strengthened in the spirit man. And this particular CD that's blessed me, this is just the song, but the rest of it you're going to find, I'm going to just share it with you, and if the Lord puts it on your heart, you can look it up. But the woman's name is Patricia King, and I went to the Glory School recently, and it really changed my life. It just put such a new fire in my spirit. And the name of the CD is Decree. And what she does is decrees the Word of God over you. It's according to Job 22:28, where you decree a thing and it shall be established. So the power of our confession is so important. Our thought life and how we conduct our lives, and the battle, as we know, is in the mind, which affects the emotions, which manifest in the flesh. So we need to protect our mind. The Lord says, put on the helmet of salvation. And that's the beginning, is when we've been saved, when we've given our heart to Christ and we've trusted in him. You can look it up on the website. We need to fellowship with people that are on fire for God, because you don't fellowship with the world. You fellowship with believers, and you fellowship with people that are even stronger than you, that are going to stoke you, that are going to provoke you to a passion. And that's what my heart's message is about this morning. It's about passion. Where is your passion? What is your pursuit on a daily basis? How do you begin your day? Do you rush out, get your makeup on, go to work, and run around as the day dictates and the demands of the day dictate, or your children pulling you this way or that way? Or do you take that time in the morning and again arise and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. You're already there waiting for me to walk with me throughout the day. So one of the resources I just wanted to let you know about was that one. It's Decree. And another one that we have here is, many of you have seen it and have heard it, and it's a different style of confession, and it's Framing Your World. And this was put together by my husband probably about 7 years ago, just the layout of the Word of God. And you know, the amazing thing is it begins with crucifixion of self. No, not that one. I don't want to die. But the only way to walk in love is to die to self and the demands that self makes on us. It's probably in more of a flow of just releasing peace and love and joy, and it gives you scriptures about health and healing. And the thing that was amazing, I ministered to myself. This was probably 3 weeks after, in the natural sense, I lost Carissa. Carissa's name was Carissa Joy, and the doctors had said that there appeared to be some problems with her, and it was more on an even chromosomal level. This was actually our fourth baby. I have Carson, who's 4, and then I lost a baby to miscarriage, and then there's Victoria, who just turned 2, and then Carissa Joy. The name was so befitting, because when I think about Carissa, I think about joy. And even when I think about Victoria, I think about double joy. Because those of you that have met her and seen her down here dancing before the Lord, and she does that at home, we do that. She's just such a delight, and she is such a double joy. And that's the gift that the Lord has given to us. And when I think about that time I was separated for, you know, there's such a natural grieving that you go through with such a loss like that. And a brand new born baby who was live and in the womb that morning, she came so swiftly. There were so many answers to prayer. She was such a victory baby and such a baby of faith, because in her condition, she probably wouldn't have even gone to being a full-term baby. But the Lord was with me during that whole time. And each time, no matter what the doctors were saying, it's like, no, the Word, the Word, the Word. So there wasn't a moment of time that was stolen in that realm of fear or anxieties, or it was like I refused to give in to whatever it was that I was hearing from the external. All I wanted to do was cling to the Word. And the Word is Jesus. Jesus came and manifested himself that we would come to know him. And he gave us the person of the Holy Spirit to embrace, to hold on to the Word. That time when I was separated to him. There was such a just a weeping and a weeping. And many of you knew that song, Say the Name. I had it just running over and over and over again. And I just separated myself. And the Lord ministered to me in so many ways. And then the joy came. And I was upstairs and I was changing Victoria's diaper. And we have Framing Your World playing day and night and day and night. And sometimes I've just gone in the rooms and listened to it and not even really tuned in to the word. I just go about doing what I need to do, changing diapers, cleaning up her toys. And it's playing and playing and playing the word of God over and over again. And this particular morning, it was about joy. And that joy flooded my soul because I stopped and I listened and I just had my radar go up. I started laughing. And that strengthening of the Lord just came in because of the word of God that strengthened me and so sustained me and just brought me up and over. And in such a miraculous way, because this was between like the third and fourth week, because, you know, in a time like that, I lost sense of time. I want to also say that there was just such an experience that I had with the Lord. And this was the day that we had laid her to rest. What the Lord did for me that night, nothing in this earth could have done. But what happened, I was in the kitchen and I was talking about her and her being in heaven, being in the arms of Jesus. And I had my sister who came down from Pennsylvania on one side and Christine on the other. And this was probably about 1 a.m. at this time in our home. And LaRue had gone to bed and we were just sharing out of our hearts and everybody else had gone to bed. So it was Christine and Sherry. And we were just talking about the Lord and talking about heaven. What the Lord did, it was absolutely incredible, and I'd heard about how people have been caught up in heaven. But this was, let's see, she was born on Thursday, and this was on Tuesday night. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, within 5 days, that when we had actually laid her to rest. And that night, as we were talking about where she is, in this heavenly, glorious place, he caught me up by the Spirit. And I was suspended there, lost, outside of the realm of time, in a place of eternity that held such glory that, I mean, I went from just crying and just a racking sob that just transformed into an overwhelming, bubbling over laughter to the point where Christine and Sherry were like looking at each other going, is she okay? Are we going to have to call the hospital? Because there was such a uncontrollable laughter. Because in heaven, it's bliss. It is a glory and a place that is indescribable with human words. And even experience it, you cannot even begin to express what it is like. Something so great, a gift that the Lord gave me to know where she is. Some people think, oh, tomorrow, I'll come to know the Lord tomorrow. I'll quit following the world and the ways of the world and my own selfish desires. And I'll do it tomorrow or next week. And some people in their immaturity and in their self-sufficiency think, oh, I've got plenty of years. You lose ground. You lose so much time. You lose so much of an opportunity to know the Lord here. And we can express that through being the light of Christ to those that he places in our lives and staying close to God so that people begin to see, not by what we say, but what we possess. And that's the glory of the Lord. And our purpose and our passion needs to be him. And above all things, according to Corinthians 14:1, pursue love. God says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, here is faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And that's just after he described all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which have been made available to us. We have the power of heaven made available to us. He says, pursue love. And who is love? God is love. And we know him. We know the Father through the Son. And the Son is revealed through the Holy Spirit. So we need to come to know the Holy Spirit in such a personal way. He's not out there. He's here. And his job is to convict those that don't know him of the sin that they have in their lives that separate them from that intimacy with the Lord. Because you can come into his presence boldly, unashamed, without guilt. You come into that place and he sees the blood of Christ that is upon you because you've placed your trust in him. That's where the stumbling block is. It's the power of the cross. And yet, it's because he's blinded the eyes of the people and they cannot see. And if you think about self-sufficiency, it's idolatry. It's following after self, being so independent of God. It's a form of pride and idolatry and rebellion. But the Lord so longs to wrap his arms around them and bring them into that place of knowing him. of coming to a knowledge of who He is. So out of the Word of God, I'd share with you Galatians 5:6, and I'm going to speak a few scriptures over you. Faith works through love. We release our faith because of the love that is within us. And who knows here that you cannot give away what you do not possess? You cannot give something to somebody if you don't have it yourself. If you're empty and void of the love of God, you have nothing to give. But the love is the greatest gift that you can give to anybody. He bestowed such a lavish and extravagant love upon us through the Son. And when I think about the cross, and many of you who saw the Passion of the Christ, it was just something that took your breath away. That probably didn't even depict what He experienced. All the sins of the past, that present time, all those people that had rejected Him and abandoned Him. It's so painful when we have somebody leave us or betray us or hurt us. And it's always going to be someone you love that you care about, because it wouldn't cut you so deep. When you've been betrayed by somebody that you loved and you spend time with, and they leave you, and the disciples that walked with Him saw the miracles, saw the signs and the wonders that He displayed. And the greatest wonder was His love for you to go to the cross and experience that separation, that suffering in hell for 3 days. When we meditate on that, I'm undone. When we think about what He did for us, and that's what's so difficult for the world to overcome, is that kind of a love. And there's such a counterfeit love today, the lust that is so manifest in so many ways. The devil's taken on so many facets of trying to display his lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The only thing that oppresses me is someone who's walking with Christ. President Bush, him being in the office in this time and in this hour, and his boldness to have expressed his faith as he did. We have a godly man over this nation, and such an opportunity. We need to discern the times. That's why we need to provoke ourselves and one another to such a place of love that we forgive one another quickly. Don't give an account for a wrong. Do not hold a grudge. You open yourself up to the attack of the enemy in the realm of sickness and disease and just heartache by holding somebody an offense, and even in judging somebody, being critical of a brother or a pastor. When we have those feelings, we need to release the feeling of love, because it's so much greater than just a feeling. It's a spirit of love that is released, and it allows the enemy not to have place into your life and bring judgment on you. What the Lord says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is justice. And we don't want justice. We don't want what we deserve. And we pray that that person not get what they deserve. We say, mercy, Lord. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy for them. And what happens? You sow mercy to yourself. And I want mercy all the days of my life. Love and kindness and goodness of the Lord expressed through me and to me. I don't want His judgment in my life. I want love and mercy. I release love. Even if I find myself getting frustrated about something, maybe it's because something didn't go my way. And that's usually the case. So you think about how you may get upset with somebody. It's like, you know what, Lord, it's the way that it's supposed to be. And even if it isn't, it's okay. You cannot do it. You can't change what may have happened that moment. And you just get all racked up and being disturbed in your spirit, frustrated and anxiousness. And where is the Holy Spirit in that? Where is the Spirit man? Are you living by the Spirit man? That is what our desire needs to be, is to live by the Spirit. And to be equipped and to be trained to follow after the Holy Ghost. That's one of the things I want to ask y'all. I mean, this is a time of love, passion, pursuing love, examining our hearts, thinking before we go into the day, what is my pursuit for the day? I mean, do we pursue after materialism? Do we pursue after a mate, marriage? Do we pursue after good things for our children? And I know I love to delight my children, but I don't want my children to be the focus. I don't want my mate to be my focus. I don't want my job to be my focus. I want my Lord to be my focus. He's the one who fulfills me. And even for those that may be single here, you need to be completely fulfilled with the Lord. He may be trying to work out some things within you. That fullness that you find is found in Him, and not in trying to pull it out of your husband, because your husband's not going to be able to give you what you need. And even for those of us that are married, and I waited a long time where it seemed like it was forever before my husband came to me, Pastor LaRue, he was my every dream come true. And I see the purpose behind waiting, and the Lord was doing things in me to remove those things in me that I would not only be so grateful for the man of God that He had given me, but He gave me so much more than I had even dreamed of. But it was during those times of pursuing the Lord that gave me so much satisfaction. And even for those that as you're single, having a companion, a best friend, a confidant, that's really such a wonderful way that the Lord brings that someone special along beside you, whether you're in a roommate situation or whether you just have that friend, because it's so awesome to have that person show that affection, show that love, because we need that. We were created like that. And as women, we tend to be the more emotional part of the marriage. In the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's your husband, the wife, the children, and there's divine order in that, and there's peace in that. It's not where the husband forces his authority over you. There's just such a flow of it when you allow it to be according to the Word of God. He doesn't need to demand it, but when you are led by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, there's order. And so faith works by love, and we're not to love the world, but to love the Lord. To love one another. That's how the world knows that we are Christians, is by our love one for another. The Lord has called us to a realm of glory and virtue. And one of the things I wanted to share a little bit about was being ladies of virtue and excellence. Virtue means the quality of moral excellence, righteousness, and responsibility. The responsibility lies in our understanding the Word of God, embracing the Word of God, that be the mark for us. That we go into God, go through the loving relationship and experience that we have that's found in His Word. And I just pray this day that He just renew His love for you, that you renew your love for Him and recommit yourself to Him in such a manner that love just overflows, just abounding. One of the greatest scriptures that I just love that ministered a lot to me too was Romans 15:13. And this is something that the Lord gave me during that time in December, shortly after Carissa went to be with the Lord. He says in Romans 15:13, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith. It's a living relationship. It's a living relationship. It's through our experience with Him. This is such a time when the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in the charismatic church is really coming together. It's not all emotion, but it's not all word. This is a time when the marriage of the two is coming together. And you're going to find that more and more in the days to come, that more and more and more of the Spirit of the Lord is going to go into the denominations as they continue to seek after Him, because they're knowing that there's something that's missing. The Lord has created that void in us to know that we need to have more of Him in our lives. When we see, even with the charismatics, and there's been such a tendency through the years for more of that emotional, but He's really wanting the two to be married together, the Word and the Spirit. And so we need to discern the times, be a part of what the Holy Spirit is doing, and be so sensitive to what He's doing. And so it just filled me so with joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing. I mean, I am speaking it overflowing with hope. And the hope is trust. Is trust in who? The Lord. Trusting Him with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways. In all of your ways. How many of your ways? All of your ways. Trusting in Him, believing in Him, following after Him. As you do that, you just stay so connected to the vine. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're abounding in the fruit of the Spirit. When you abide in Him, you bear much fruit. You're bearing much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And you're doing it in the natural realm, and you're not going to be able to minister to anybody, let alone yourself, let alone receiving it from the Holy Spirit. When you consider, because 1 Corinthians 2:4, it talks about the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Foolishness, for they are spiritually discerned. So we need to discern the times and so stir up that passion, that love that we have for our Lord, and just continue throughout the day to give Him the honor that He is so due. The Lord shows us that He is the King of Kings. And you want to know something? Satan is a prince of the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is given the power. There's some level of power that he has, but it's really based on the power that you give him. We have a King of Kings. A King of Kings who has defeated this prince of darkness. And I'm telling you, this prince, he is very crafty and he wants to deceive, especially the women, as in Adam and Eve. It was the woman, it was Eve who was so deceived by Satan. But when you're submitted in a church and you have a covering, when you are planted and you are rooted and grounded in the love of God, and it's so important to be in a church home where you're able to bear much fruit, where you're able to be encouraged in the Lord and strengthened in the Lord. It's so important to be connected to the vine and to be allowing the Spirit of the Lord to flow through you so freely, because we don't want to just come into the church and just get fill and not release it. Your purpose for here is to release that faith that is within you, to go out even to the unchurched, wherever it is that he leads you, and share the hope that Christ has placed within you, the hope in the one and only Christ. Ephesians 2:1, it tells us about where we were, but where we're going. And I'll read this over you, and you're welcome to join me. And you hath he quickened. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. He's the one who quickens you, whether in your sin or when you're going to make a decision and you just don't know if it's the right one. But he's quickening us who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. When I remember all those times and I remember what he's delivered me from, it's like, thank you, Lord, that you set me free from that bondage, because I didn't know what I was in. I had a head knowledge of who he was in a denomination. And going through my teen years, and especially in college, I would pick up the Bible. And I think many people have even said how there were times when they'd be drunk and they would go pick up the Bible, because there's something inside of you that's looking for significance. It's looking for meaning. It's looking for something outside of yourself. There's a knowing that there's a creator to connect to, and that you're not here alone and just going even through the motions. I mean, just going through the emotions and the motions of your life. But he has quickened us in our sins. And that's where the power of Christ comes in. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to do this for us. There's such a time now that's emerged where, as an evangelist, and we're all called to be evangelists, we're all called to be ministers and to be led of the Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit that's going to know that appointed time to reach into somebody's life and hold their hand and pray with them, or to introduce them to Christ. But that burden is off of us, because it's not our job to go out and get everybody saved. I know that there's a desire to do that, but we have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit and even respect where people are on their spiritual journey in seeking after the Lord, because he's created us with an emptiness apart from him. When we're void of the Spirit, man being made alive through being born again, you are on your own. And even over a course of time, people will come to themselves and even recognize that they need the Savior. And that's how the Lord is moving in such amazing ways, because the mysteries of the Word are being made known. And it says here, we were once children. We were of the nature of the children of wrath, even as others. But God, and this is what's so grand about God. He says, but God, because there's always a but God, because that's when his will comes in, is made known. He was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, because you're dead apart from him. You're spiritually dead without him. Hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, there's a heavenly realm that's being made available. There's an open heaven now in this time more than ever. And it's because of the saints that have gone before us. It's the people that have gone and fought the good fight of faith. We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, that battle is in the mind. But who knows that love is spiritual warfare? Love is spiritual warfare. And when we hold on to love, we have the victory. I just want to encourage all of you ladies, this is such a time to be willing to preach the word, to know the word. Again, you cannot give what you do not have. You cannot impart to somebody hope if you don't have that hope. You can't impart to them love, the faith that is within you. We need to be ready in season and out of season. I'm just going to ask all of you to stand up with me for just a moment. seeing through the years and in studying religions and denominations, and you know, there seems to be somewhat of a fear about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. However, we cannot accomplish anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who convicts people of sin. And I'm going to just speak a few things that he does, but these are just a few of the things that he does. And this isn't even exhaustive. This is just in the New Testament. But these are functions of the Holy Spirit. He leads us. He directs us. He speaks to us, in us and to us and through us. We cast out devils through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the demons are not afraid of me. I mean, I'm like this to him. But in the spirit realm, I am over 50 feet tall because of the Holy Spirit within me and the authority that the Lord has given us. He releases power, the anointing. He comes on us. He falls on us, baptizes us. He fills us with the Spirit of the Lord. He gives us new birth. He leads us into worship. He flows like a river from the spirit man. A number of the denominations, one of the things that so many people are afraid of, where does fear come from? Where does fear come from? There seems to be somewhat of a fear of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but that's where the power is. That's where the dynamis power is. That's where you step out. With Acts 2, that's when they went out with power. They didn't go out in their own authority. They went out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He proceeds from the Father. He's the comfort. He's our help. He's our strength. He gives the gift of tongues, according to Acts 2:4. He brings direction, guidance, holiness, the spirit of life, the Zoe life. He invites us to walk with him. There's a groaning, a prayer, an intercession, and many of you as intercessors know the deep groanings that come from within that cannot even be described. You just yield yourself to the Spirit as he prays over nations, as he prays for salvation, as he prays over those that need to step into the fullness of God. This is the time to become mature believers in Christ. Come into such a place of passion with the Lord and not to be in a place of complacency. I mean, many of the people that are in the church are almost just, I'm saved. Whew. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to heaven. And they're just coasting along. But he wants us so to be on fire for him that we begin to release that into the earth. He's the sword. He's the rhema word. He produces fruit. He helps us in our weakness. He gives us liberty. He seals us. He makes all the gifts available to us. He washes us. He sanctifies us. He purifies us and justifies us. He reveals to us what has been given by God. Isn't that just so awesome who the person of the Holy Spirit is? He's not to be feared in any way, but he's to be embraced. He's to be clung to. He's to be held so close. There's a person there. He strengthens us with might, unity, wine. He supplies us with every spiritual blessing. There's a fellowship there, grace, glory. He speaks to the churches. He calls for the bridegroom. So let's invite him here today, okay? Speak to him out of our hearts, and we're just going to speak a confession and a renewal of our faith to him. Spirit of life, spirit of truth, come into my life. I need you now more than ever. I am desperate for you. If I don't have you in my life, I am nothing. I ask you, Holy Spirit, for your salvation to be made known to me. I trust in you, Lord Jesus. I invite you into my heart. I ask you, Lord, to live in me and through me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, past, present, future, even the sin of fear, when I worry about what's going to happen in 20 years or next year or tomorrow. I place my trust in you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, baptize me with the evidence of praying in tongues. I yield myself to you now. I lift up holy hands. I thank you that you have purified me with the blood of Christ. And you see the blood and not me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The times I haven't trusted in you, I choose this day to trust you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, my soul, and to be led by my spirit man. through the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for a new passion in my heart. I think you've ignited it today. I love the word, and nothing shall offend me. Love you, Lord.